Hello and welcome to the second episode of Scram Web and EVE Online Podcast. This is the Percocet edition since on the weekend I managed to strain my rotator cuff tendon. I have tendonitis of the rotator cuff and it's extremely painful, and I've taken a bunch of Percocet to relieve the pain, which may mean that everything I'm saying is completely unintelligible, and I apologize to my millions of listeners for that. But we go on. First, I'd like to thank everyone for the feedback on the first podcast. I had several responses privately and on the forums talking about some constructive feedback on the first podcast. Particularly like Kairos Zero wrote, he said, "I found the PvP fight to be interesting. You mentioned at one point that you felt the Saber pilot screwed up a bit by not trying to keep you at range. I think it would have been valuable if you'd elaborated a bit more on what the Saber should have done, and more importantly, how you would have reacted to that to still claw out a win. As a far from uber PvPer, it is helpful to hear people's decision-making process." Well, I think that's a very good point. I think I should probably discuss more the opposing force strategy there. What the Saber should have tried to do is hold me at range, still within scram range, so he can shut off my micro-warp drive, but outside the optimal and probably outside first fall-off of my blasters, which, considering how short range they are despite the optimal bonus on the Enyo, is still very short, much shorter than the massive fall-off that the autocannons on the Saber would have. So he had kept me between, say, 5 and 7 kilometers. My damage would have been a fraction what it would ideally be, a fraction of full damage. Well, his damage would have been almost 100%. And he would have easily won. Interestingly enough, just recently on this with the same Enyo, I had a fight that pretty much beautifully elaborated this. I was in Syndicate. First, I basically encountered I forget which ship I came across first, but there was a Dramiel and a Punisher, and there were also a couple stealth bombers involved. Now, playing back and forth on the gate, I was able to pop both stealth bombers who had foolishly engaged me. One had engaged me, locked me up, launched a bomb, and I powered towards him with my warp drive on, but managed to pop him before his bomb exploded, which prevented the bomb from actually exploding. That's always a good trick when you're dealing with stealth bombers, by the way. If you destroy the stealth bomber before the bomb explodes, the bomb will not explode. The other stealth bomber I was able to dispatch similar way. No bomb was launched, but with massive damage of the Enyo, if I could get close to one, it was a matter of 2 or 3 seconds before they would be popped. But playing back and forth on the gate and motoring around, I was eventually caught about 40 kilometers off-gate with the Dramiel. Again, I deliberately put myself in an off-gate position in order to encourage a fight, and the Dramiel had caught me and had scrammed me. So my micro-warp drive was off, but more annoyingly, he scrammed me and he kept at range. And since he is so maneuverable, the Enyo is not a particularly fast or maneuverable ship, even without an armor plate. He was able to hold me at outside of the range that I was able to do almost no damage to him at all. I don't think I was hitting with any of shots. Meanwhile, his 3 drones and his autocannons were causing damage to me. Plus, he had a Punisher friend who had come and join him and was shooting at me. And I was about 40 kilometers from gate, and even though I had a micro-warp drive, I was scrammed, so I wasn't going very fast. So, this is the perfect scenario. He had put me in a position where I couldn't damage him, even though, I mean, if I had gone close to him, I was 1 or 2 kilometers from that Punisher, and if I had a web and he didn't have an afterburn or whatever, I would have been able to kill him easily. Because even though Dramiel is a pretty good ship, it doesn't have anywhere near the damage or the tank of an Enyo. So under conditions, you know, EFT whoring at the Enyo blows a Dramiel away, but in battle with a competent opponent, this guy was from Figgle, I was in big trouble. So what do I do? Well, I'm about 35 kilometers from gate. I can't damage the Enyo. I probably can't damage the Punisher. The only thing I can do is deaggress and head back to the gate as fast as I can. I probably, at this point, should have popped his 3 drones. The Enyo can go just over 300 meters per second without afterburner, without any speed mods, which means it would take me approximately 100 and change seconds to get to the gate, which gives me, since it takes 60 seconds to deaggress, I had about a 40-second window where I could have started shooting at the drones, if nothing else. But I was a little panicky, so I just in line for the gate and went as fast as I could, which wasn't very fast, and spent the entire time concentrating on my tank. The Enyo I fly is an active tank Enyo. It doesn't have any plates or anything to boost the raw HP, but it does have a couple of resistance plates, and well, it's got armor hardener, explosive hardener, which is very effective against the incoming damage from the Dramiel, as well it has a EANM, and it's got a damage control too. So I had a fair amount of tank, plus I had a small armor repairer too, and I had a cap booster. So I had no problems with cap, as long as I was careful, or I had almost no problems with cap. As long as I was careful and made sure I kept on feeding the cap of the cap booster, I could maintain the tank indefinitely. Unfortunately, the tank obviously is not enough to withstand the incoming firepower, but it was enough to mitigate it. So I made a beeline for the gate, and as fast as I could, which wasn't very fast, I kept on overloading my armor repair. Now, here's an important thing about overloading. When you overload a device, different things happen. Some devices, like a microwarp drive, give you an awesome bonus. In case of a microwarp drive, it's 50% speed bonus. It doesn't use any more cap, but you get more speed. Other devices, you have a completely different effect. In the case of an armor repair, it makes the repair duration shorter. So, I forget the exact number, but let's say it was 6 seconds per repair cycle, became 5 while overloaded, which gives you a bit more tank, you can tank a bit more incoming DPS, but it also means it's consuming more cap. So, in my case, I had just enough cap stability with the 200 cap charges. I was able to maintain my armor repair going even with the even when overloaded. But of course, it can only go for so long, so I'd be very careful watching the heat to make sure I didn't actually burn it out. As it was, I managed to make it for the whole 100-second period, make it all the way to the gate and jump through as my armor repair burned out. It burned out literally in the last couple meters, and I was at about 20% structure. So really, given another 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds, I would have gone down. But in this case, I just barely squeezed through, and I was very happy about that, because I had grown quite fond of the Zenyo. I then proceeded to lose it a couple jumps later to a massive gate camp to my own failings, which I may talk about some other point in the future. So I thought that was an interesting point. What can be done by the enemy? In this case, dealing with it. Blaster bow, typically what you want to do is keep it at 5 to 7 range. When you're dealing with small blasters like frigates and destroyers, keep to that sort of range where you're still within scram, but as far into scram range as possible. And if you're in a ship that's maneuverable enough and fast enough to maintain that, then you're going to win the fight almost for certain. Especially if the blaster boat doesn't have a webifier, and my blaster boat does not have a webifier. It has the cap booster instead. Alright, I think at this point I'd like to give a shout-out to Sard Cade. Many of you have probably died to him in the past. He has been a pirate. I think he flies for Gunboat Diplomacy, mostly running around Molten Heath, but he has ventures outside Molten Heath on a regular basis as well. Anyways, what's particularly interesting is his live feed. Most nights when he's on, he is broadcasting on twitch.tv/SardCade/videos. And he's broadcasting basically a live feed of his ship. It's very fascinating. He's a very good PvP-er. He PvP's in drakes and small ships and big stuff and a whole assortment of stuff. And he really seems to have a very good idea of, you know, what it's... If you watch the video, you get a really good idea of what solo roam or small gang warfare is all about. It's pretty intense, pretty exciting, and he really knows what he's doing. He's among the best at it. Anyways, the reason I give a shout-out for it is because I was flying around with my Agony Court mates in Syndicate, and somebody said, oh, there's a hurricane. I'm not a hurricane. There's a Drake on scan, and there was a local, I'd just gone up one, and it was Arcade. So I quickly said, oh, hold on a second, I bet I can get his live feed. So I switched over to his live feed, and sure enough, he was broadcasting, and the video that was the feed was showing was he was in the system that he was in, so it was a live broadcast. There was appeared to be only a few seconds delay. So this put him in quite a massive disadvantage. We managed to tackle him at a belt. I think there was some comments on the video about how did Agony know to exactly which belt he was landing on, and it was because I was watching the video feed. So we had a stiletto or some other interceptor tackled the is Drake, which was a lone Drake, and of course we knew it was a lone Drake because I was watching the video feed, and we managed to pounce on it with, you know, a massive, a small blob of ships in surrounding solar systems, including my Jaguar at the time. He tried to motor away, but my Jaguar has a scrambler, and I was able to burn right to him and shut down his microwarp drive, and we started taking him down. But, as I said, I'm a really big fan of him and a really big fan of the feed. I think it's interesting, and I think it was a little cheap to use his feed against him in that way. So once we got him into deep structure, we gave the word, and we de-aggressed. We stopped shooting at him and let him go and said, we love your feed and stuff like that. And off he went to go repair to die, you know, a couple jumps later in another fight. Anyways, it's a fantastic feed. Well worth watching. I hope he doesn't die too often to people who are watching his feed, since that's, as I said, a bit cheap, but it's it does happen, apparently, as I demonstrated, although we did let him go. I think we're an exception to the rule. So, Sardcade, you can catch him at www.twitch.tv/Sardcade, all one word, /videos. Fantastic. If you want to watch what small gang PvP and solo PvP is like, you can't do much better than that. So at this point, I think I'd like to talk about my latest blog post called Minerals, the Perfect Storm. Now, many of you have probably noticed over the last couple of days that prices in New Eden are going crazy. They seem to be going up. Battlecruisers have gone massively up in price. Cruisers have gone massively up in price. I think some modules are racing up in price. Battleships, everything seems to be getting a lot more expensive. Why are things getting more expensive? And this is huge. I mean, it's not just a subtle price change. This is like massive inflation of 100,000% per year at this rate. It's insane. So what's happening? Well, as I discussed, the Perfect Storm is referring to. There was a movie came out actually it was a book originally, then a movie called The Perfect Storm, about there was a hurricane combined with a Arctic storm, combined with a few other large weather events that are relatively rare by themselves, but they all happen at the same time, interfere with each other in exactly the right way to create the ultimate storm. And several ships were sunk as a result of the storm, and there was a book and a movie starring some Hollywood stars, and it was all very dramatic and stuff like that. Ever since then, people often refer to things as the perfect storm, a confluence of several rare events that all feed back to each other to create something that's just the worst possible case. Well, we are right now in a perfect storm. Mineral prices are in the perfect storm. What's happened? Well, firstly, there's large ISK faucets in the game. Incursions, introduced about probably a year ago now, a year and a half ago, they are a massive ISK faucet that didn't exist before that, and they're representing about 20 to 30% of the ISK being inserted into the game. Not as much as missions and bounties and stuff like that, but still a significant ISK faucet that didn't exist before. And as anyone who's ever done incursions can tell you, people are making over 100 million ISK an hour doing these incursions, which is quite remarkable. I think incursions are kind of cool. I've never actually done them, but I think as an idea, Care Bears doing stuff together, I think is good. It certainly uses, advanced similar fleet concepts to what you actually get in PvP and stuff, which I think is excellent, but the amount of ISK coming in is obscene, and it's causing prices to go up because people earn money, so prices go up. Standard economic theory. Now, that alone, that by itself causes prices to go up, but that's not the only thing happening. Second thing happening are these mass bannings. Basically, CCP Sregs and the team of people at CCP have basically declared war on bots and RMT. And what the long and short of it is a lot of the minerals on the market came from miners who aren't humans, they're computers or bots, they're computer programs that are intercepting the feed and are mining 23 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, these are now gone. They've been banned. And the ships being taken away, the money's being taken away. So a lot of this source of minerals on the market has disappeared. And which I think is a good thing, because actual human miners were competing against computer miners, and that's a bit unfair. Makes mining even more boring than it is, that you're competing against computer. So this by itself would drive up mineral prices. Then there's a couple proposed changes coming out in the next patch. One of these is the proposed rogue drone changes. Basically, as it currently stands, if you shoot kill a rogue drone, it doesn't give you any bounties. What you get is, in the wreck, there's a bunch of minerals, usually glittering alloys and stuff like that, and these things can be reprocessed into minerals and resources to build ships with and stuff, the same stuff you would get mining. Well, they're changing things. They're getting rid of these drops, and now they're going to be dropping the same sort of stuff that they're going to be giving bounties, like killing a Garissa's rat or a Sancho rat. You get money instead of these alloys. So again, that's going to be a huge source of minerals and resources into the economy is going to disappear. Then they're also changing T1 drops on rats. Basically, if you shoot a wreck, if you shoot a Garista or a Sancho or an Angel, the wreck has currently a whole bunch of stuff in it. And most of those modules are T1 Meta Zero modules. Well, they're removing them. So now I'm not entirely sure if it's like they're just not going to, they're being disappeared, or if they're being replaced by higher metal. Instead of getting a Meta Zero item, you're going to have a Meta 1 item, or if it's going to be instead of a Meta Zero item, there's going to be nothing. Either case, there's going to be a huge reduction in the amount of minerals and resources coming from reprocessed loot. This is also huge. Even if it's being replaced with Meta 1 items, Meta 1 items do not refine as well as Meta 0 items, so you won't get as much minerals out of the Meta 1 items being dropped as you would from Meta 0 items. So that again is another drop in minerals, which will increase the price of minerals. That's four things. Then there's the fifth, final icing on the cake, and that's Hawker Getting, starting at the end of this month. And for a month, sponsored by the Goons, they've got, 18,000 or 1,800 hurricanes or tornadoes ready, and all of Eve gets together on this, and they basically go out and gank mining ships in HiSec. Well, guess what? If you blow up a bunch of mining ships in HiSec, there's a lot less mining in HiSec, and there's a lot less minerals in the game. Plus, these ships themselves that are doing the ganking cost take minerals, will be destroyed, and the ships being blown up also, when they get replaced, will consume minerals. So, increases demand for minerals, and it significantly drops the supply. So, all five of these things together, each one of which reduces the supply of minerals and or increases the demand. So, you have a huge spike in the cost of items, and speculators are going wild. It's quite interesting to see. Now we're seeing battlecruisers cost as much as 2 or even 3 times as much as they did even a year ago. Ruptures, for example, now cost over 10 million ISK last time I checked. I've seen Hurricanes well over 50 million ISK, sometimes I think even 70 million ISK briefly. It's crazy. The costs are going through the roof, and this is going to affect anyone playing EVE. I myself have recently lost a Deimos in a fleet fight, and I just noticed it's going to cost almost twice as much to replace as when I originally bought it. That makes me a little nervous. Should I buy the Deimos, or maybe I should buy a lesser expensive ship that fills the same role? Interesting choice. These choices are being made all across New Eden, and you're going to see a lot of people being much more hesitant to lose their Hurricane, especially considering that insurance prices, which are calibrated against the price of the minerals in the ship, well, there's a lag. So right now, if you lose a Hurricane, your insurance doesn't come anywhere near covering the purchase price of the Hurricane. If you lose a Tornado, the insurance price doesn't come anywhere near. If you lose a Battleship, the insurance price doesn't come anywhere near. So this makes losing a T1 ship much, much, much more expensive than it used to be. Again, this is going to significantly change the way people fly these ships because, well, ISK affects gameplay. If there's a larger risk, then people are going to be more hesitant to it. The worst thing, of course, is new players are going to be affected by this terribly. I think with Drakes costing much more, with Ruptures costing more, with Caracals costing much more, with even Rifters and Destroyers costing much more, it's going to be much harder for a new cash-poor player to ride out the storm. Personally, I have a couple billion ISK worth of ships sitting in hangars across New Eden. I'll be fine. With some new player just getting started, he's going to be very frustrated because he won't have... The value of his assets aren't going to go up at the same time as these resources. It's only basically the reduction in the value of his ISK. So it's really bad for new players, and the new player experience is going to be seriously negatively affected by these changes in the very short term and possibly in the long term. Having said that, CCP knows about these problems. CCP has an economist on staff. I'm sure he knows. He's got a few tricks up his sleeve. I would not be surprised if some of these things were delayed several months. Wouldn't be surprised if they cancel one or two of these changes, or alternatively, just make mining yields higher. If you know, refining a unit of Veldspar gives you twice as much minerals out of it, that would actually probably rebalance the market. and would certainly mess up the speculators. So we'll see. We'll see what tricks CCP pulls out of its hat. Typically, I think they'll wait a bit before they do something, let chaos happen, and then bring chaos back. That typically is the way CCP works. But we'll see. Again, the new patch is on its way, and we'll see what actually is contained in the patch. Lots of speculation, lots of dev blogs and stuff from CCP, and as we all know, sometimes the output is different than what is expected. Just look at the player-owned custom offices. No one really understood what those things were until they came out and how much they were going to be a game-changer for the better in the end. So, that's all I have to say on that matter. I hope someone has enjoyed this blog. I certainly have enjoyed recording it. And I probably will have another one next week. Thanks very much for listening. Totara out. This just in, some breaking news. It has now been confirmed by CCP Grayscale and others that Meta Zero items are being replaced by a unit of metal scrap. So they're not being replaced by nothing, they're not being replaced by Meta 1 items or higher, they're being replaced by metal scrap, which is highly compressed, takes up 0.01 meters cubed. Which means you can store a lot more of it on your ship. However, it does not refine to nearly as much as most modules. For example, a Gyro Stabilizer 1 refines to 593 units of titanium and about another 800 units of other resources. Whereas a metal scrap, let me just check here, it will refine, reprocess to, for me, it would reprocess to it will reprocess to 426 units of tritanium. And that's been my horrible refine rate and stuff like that. But 426 is a lot less than the units of tritanium is a lot less than the over 1,000 units of various materials, including more than 426 units of tritanium for a typical module, such as a Gyro Stabilizer 1. So, in general, there's going to be a lot less minerals thanks to this patch. CCB Grayscale has acknowledged that he knows this is going to hit the market massively, so he's doing it all at once. He goes into a few details as why they're replacing with metal scraps rather than nothing. It's more of a programming issue, but it's going to be interesting. Definitely food for thought. So expect, the plan is as follows. Mineral prices are going through the roof. CCP is designing it that way. Anyways, that was just a small amendment. After I recorded the blog, I found this out. Thanks very much. In fact, I'd specifically like to thank Giznet, a fellow Agni member, for pointing this out. Thanks. Bye.